It's time to get answers to all of your real estate questions. Talk 1260 KTRC presents All Things Real Estate, New Mexico's foremost live, listener-interactive real estate radio show. The phone lines are open, so call us at 505-473-5722 or email us your questions at rpost@sfrp.com. Now, here's your host, Ray Post.
Good afternoon and welcome to All Things Real Estate. I'm Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners and stand ready to help meet all of your real estate objectives. As always, I want to remind you about some excellent companies who can help solve renovation, repair, and design issues around your own home. Just go to our website, www.santafe.realtypartners.com. Click on the radio show icon and go right to the list of real estate resource companies. I encourage you to give them a call if you need some help at the place you call home. Now, many of you have told us how much you like the fact that we provide a lot of useful and diverse real estate information with each of our Sunday shows. So today, we're going to enhance this program formula that you seem to like so much by offering up a variety of guests who will bring valuable information to the show via a number of interviews. We'll get to these interviews in a minute. And I also want to thank all of you who joined me last Sunday for the live remote broadcast of All Things Real Estate from the Santa Fe Convention Center during the Green Building Expo. We received such a tremendous response from this approach that we are planning a number of additional remote broadcasts where we can bring the show directly to you, our loyal listeners. As always, we have a lot going on with the show today, so please sit back and enjoy All Things Real Estate here on Talk 1260 KTRC. You can also email me, Ray Post, your questions and comments by sending your message to rpost@sfrp.com. We'd like to begin each show with some state-of-the-market commentary from Andrew Hoffman, advisor to All Things Real Estate. I spoke to Andrew earlier this week, so let's take a listen to what he has to offer to you today.
I'm often asked why it's so difficult to get loans these days, and so I thought I'd talk a little bit about the intricacies and what's changed. The bottom line on it is that all of our loans, these days at least, are sold through a public market for mortgage-backed securities. And they go through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and they're sold into the open market. And at one time, the Treasury was only the only buyer, but now there are some private buyers who are moving into the market. But the issue is that the loans need to be standardized, and they need to be standardized according to Fannie and Freddie guidelines. And the issue for why everything is more difficult and why underwriters are asking for more information is that everybody is fearful of getting stuck with a loan that can't be sold to the public market. So what does that mean? There's a guideline book put out by Fannie Mae. It's probably 2.5 to 3 inches thick. And everything that's asked for has a guideline. And in previous years, those guidelines were squishy. Today, they're not so squishy, and underwriters are adhering to the line and letter of each of those guidelines. And so it creates a documentation nightmare For example, I mean, it might be something with income, and they want documentation of, a pension. So before, they used to look at your tax returns and say, yes, you're getting a pension, you're getting Social Security. And today, they're making us prove that you have a Social Security benefit by getting a Social Security benefit letter. This all takes time. It takes effort. It makes me, in my position as a loan originator, have to ask for more and more information. And the guidelines have changed. The FICO or the credit scores are higher, and it's harder to get mortgage insurance on those loans over 80%. So the question is to, you know, why underwriting is more difficult is that it's the sign of the times. They've tightened up. Everybody's afraid. Underwriters and companies are afraid to get stuck with a loan that they can't sell. And we as the borrowers and the loan originators suffer. So that's the story.
Well, once again, Andrew Hoffman's bringing some interesting information. Again, these challenges with new reporting requirements and the like are, in fact, making things more transparent and good for you, the consumer, and they're adding some additional burdens to individuals like Andrew and as a loan originator. But in the end, he agrees as well that this is all good for you. I'm going to shift gears now. Again, we're going to be changing the format today, and I'll have a number of conversations throughout the program. My first one, though, is with Ted Harrison, who is the president and founder of Commonweal Conservancy. Commonweal Conservancy is the nonprofit developer of a very ambitious 13,000-acre stewardship community, which many of you probably know as the Galisteo Basin Preserve. Good morning, Ted. How are you?
Good morning, Ray. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well, you know, Ted, we had a conversation before today, this show, about all of the good works that you're doing with the Galisteo Basin Preserve. So maybe just to help our listeners get their geographic bearings, where is this preserve in case folks are not aware of it?
Thank you, Ray. The Galisteo Basin Preserve is located along the northern rim of the Galisteo Basin, which is about 4 miles south of El Dorado and 3 miles west of Lamy.
And the preserve itself has as a sort of a goal, is an attempt to integrate the values of landscape-scale conservation with large-scale community development. But how is this project, because a number of people who listen to the show are familiar with communities like Aldea and Rancho Viejo, how is it different from those kinds of communities?
Well, we've been trying to draw from best practices out there in the world, and in some ways we describe our work as sort of a complex stew of planning principles and design strategies. On the one hand, we draw very powerful inspiration from conservation development projects around the country, but rather than view the open space protection work that many of those projects advance as a private amenity, the Galisteo Basin Preserve is designed to ensure that 96% of the land area will be permanently protected with conservation easements and accessible to the general public for hiking and bicycling and equestrian uses. And the village plan is, you know, deeply informed by some mixed-use, pedestrian-oriented values and principles of traditional neighborhood design and new urbanism. Probably similar to Aldea and the Community College District, the streets and the residential and commercial civic land uses are intended to be tightly configured, but they're not slavishly organized in a grid pattern that is the advocacy of a lot of new urbanist projects.
Mm-hmm.
I think the project stands very importantly on the shoulders of Aldea and the Community College District because those projects that were brought forward 10 years ago had to win some very difficult battles from the county land use division and from the fire department to help them understand how you could move cars and sheriff equipment and fire vehicles through narrower roads and through tighter neighborhoods than is the usual pattern in Santa Fe County, which tends to be focused more on seeing applications for suburban and rural development approval projects.
Mm-hmm. And Aldea, since you brought it up, actually is an interesting community. There are aspects of it that the Galisteo Basin Preserve will expand upon and perhaps improve upon. I actually just had a client who bought a property in Aldea, and she's quite happy with that community feel. But tell us a little bit more about your own project, this Galisteo Basin Preserve. What kind of timeline are you on for the construction of the village? What can people be looking for as far as an opportunity to buy something out there?
Well, let's see. Let me first give you just a sense of scale and the land use program that we're pursuing. It's a big project. In Santa Fe County, we don't see many new master plan developments that are proposing, like this one, to include 965 homes.
Wow.
And then the educational, commercial, civic program is proposed to include 150,000 square feet of primarily school uses, although there is a broad mix of commercial and and civic land uses. The commercial would be such things as a small market, a cafe, a pub, civic uses, including a post office.
And when you talk, if I interrupt you for just a second, Ted, when you talk about school use, are you talking about elementary schools? What kind of a school situation are you planning?
Well, actually, early on in the planning work, we saw education as being a very critical element or organizing principle of the project. We call the Gauss Dale Basin Preserve a stewardship community, and by that we mean that we see the community as integral to the larger land protection and land restoration ambition that we're carrying forward in this work. As you know, my background is with the Trust for Public Land.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I got involved in this crazy venture,
right,
probably 9 years ago. And when Trust for Public Land was helping the county to acquire a small piece of this 13,000-acre property for the open space program, we were challenged by the county to see if we couldn't build on that 1,500-acre protection effort with a much larger conservation outcome that would also include a new community to help absorb some of the growth pressures that were inevitably coming to Santa Fe.
And, Ted, hold your thought for a second because I need to take a quick break here, but there's so much more that we want to talk about. And we're going to keep Ted on the line, take a break here, Gino Thompson, my producer, and then when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Ted Harrison, president and founder of Commonweal Conservancy, about all the great virtues of Gauss Dale Basin Preserve. Please stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. This is Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners, and we're delighted you're with us today. Before we go back to my conversation with my special guest, Ted Harrison, I want to ask you, are you thinking about building a new home, updating the one that you're in, or converting your garage into a living space or building a guest house? You know, choosing a contractor is an important decision. That's why I recommend Major Development Incorporated, a premier developer and builder in Santa Fe with over 15 years of experience. Jeff and Dina Major work with you to ensure a quality and efficient building process that will enhance your home and reflect your style. Now is an excellent time to start your project with Major Development and enjoy 15% off their standard rates. Please call Major Development today at 505-470-0019 for your free consultation or visit them online at www.majordevelopment.net to learn all about their custom home building services. Back to Ted Harrison, who is the president of the Commonweal Conservancy. We're talking about the Gauss Dale Basin Preserve. Ted, I'm sorry I interrupted you in the last segment. You were starting to get into a little bit more about describing the project itself. Please continue.
Thanks, Ray. Well, we were talking about the education piece, and in fact, just to go back to that, we've been working with a group that was originally called Charter School 37. They now have a new name called Tierra Encantada that is proposed for being located. They have a rental site over at the Indian School right now, but they're proposing to build their new facility within the core of the village area of the Gauss Dale Basin Preserve. So that would be an environmental curriculum-oriented school that would include about 400 students. Separately, there may be a middle school option, but elementary school will probably end up using the El Dorado Elementary School as the resource for the community.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm aware of the fact that, as you told me, and I'm knowing this from my colleague at the firm who is very much involved with the Commonweal Conservancy, Terry Smith, that the project has a very deep green environmental ambition. Now, how does this square with the county's emerging sustainable development plan, Ted?
I think it squares very nicely. We've been good students of that process, participated in all of the county charrettes and in quite a few private or small group meetings with the planning consultants and their legal counsel. And I think the county is trying to bring forward in a very appropriate and timely way a development program and general plan that puts values of sustainability and compact development at the forefront. and the design values and planning principles of the preserve are directly in conformance with the emerging code.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge has been, as we've been going through our plat and master plan approval process over these last 4 years, has been that we're betwixt and between. The old code, which has as its focus more of a suburban rural development orientation, and the new code, which is more traditional neighborhood design and new urbanist focused.
Mm-hmm.
So betwixt and between is, as I like to say, so on the eddy line, where you run the risk of getting flipped over, and it's been challenging to have the county work with us looking forward as to how the new code is going to guide development as opposed to look back to how we've been the last 10 years.
Yeah, well, and to continue with the metaphor, you are the great captain heading the ship on this project, and I guess we've got about another minute or so to go here, Ted, before we have to close out the interview. I'm curious, again, going back to the timeline question, what are the next threshold events, 1, 2, 3, that you're looking at as the captain of the ship on this project? And that'll help sort of give the listeners an idea of what they might have in store for themselves.
Yeah, well, we're headed towards a January 12th hearing with the Board of County Commission for the first phase preliminary plat, and that would be 149 home sites and 37,000 square feet of educational and commercial land uses. Presuming that we run the gauntlet of the preliminary plat hearing on the 12th, then we would submit final plat in the spring, and if all goes well and the market gets healthier, we would anticipate starting infrastructure construction next the spring of 2011,
mm-hmm.
First home sites being built with vertical in the fall of 2011.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to close out this segment, I did receive an email just now from Bill. Hi, Ray. Actually, this is a great way to close out the interview, Ted. How can I find out more about the Galesdale Basin Project? Perfect question, Bill.
You can call our office at 982-0071, or you can find more than you'd ever want to know or need to know on the Galesdale Basin Preserve at galesdalebasinpreserve.com.
Mm. Well, Ted Harrison, listen, it was a pleasure having you on the show today. Very thoughtful commentary. I know you would love to be able to talk to me for hours and the listeners for hours about this project. We'll have you back again. Ted Harrison, president and founder of Commonweal Conservancy. Appreciate the information about the Galesdale Basin Preserve. So for the listeners, just be on the lookout for more developments in this area, correct?
Thanks, Ray.
Hey, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Gino Thompson, you know, we've reached that point in the show when it's time for our legal topic of the week, which is brought to us by the Reuben Katz Law Firm. Today, attorney Jim Reuben will follow up on his series of topics about contractor liens by explaining about how these types of liens can be removed from your real estate. Now, let's look at a situation involving a seller ready to close on the sale of property, where a contractor recently did work and claims that he was not paid in full. Now, suppose that contractor then files a lien on a timely basis. As the seller, you want to close on your sale, but your buyer, the buyer's lender, and the title company will not close the sale if there is any outstanding lien. So what can you do, the seller, in this particular situation? Well, under New Mexico law, you really only have two choices. First, you can pay the contractor, or second, you can file a lien cancellation petition with the district court. Attorney Jim Reuben says to think of it in this way. The contractor claims a debt, and he has to have some way of securing a pledge of security for that debt. Therefore, he files the lien, which encumbers your property, which means you can't sell it. Now, if the lien were removed, that debt would be unsecured, much like a personal signature note with no collateral. So under New Mexico law, you, the seller, have the right to petition the court to cancel the lien. However, this does not avoid the debt. It only removes the lien from the real estate records, which allows you to close with your buyer. So just when the contractor may have thought that he had the upper hand and could stop the closing if the debt was not paid, you have the ability to cancel that leverage. So what's the catch? Well, you see, a requirement of the lien cancellation statute is that you, the seller, must deposit a cash collateral with the district court. In other words, it's your funds that goes to the court. Thus, the contractor no longer has a lien upon your real estate, but he does have a lien on your cash. Now, you may still contest the amount owed, but if you lose, the contractor will be able to seize all or a portion of the cash on deposit with the court. Now, courts generally require that 150% of the lien claim be deposited, and the contractor has no real defense to the cancellation petition except to contest the amount being deposited. So if you're prepared to tie up your money with the amount of the contractor debt that is being litigated, then you may wish to cancel the lien and go ahead and litigate the matter. However, when making that decision, you should also consider the legal fees and costs involved in the contest and the amount of time and energy it will take to litigate. I want to thank Attorney Jim Rubin for another useful legal topic of the week. If you have further questions for Jim Rubin, and this was a little confusing, please go to our website, www.santafe realtypartners.com. Click on the radio show icon, and I'll take you right to the Rubin Katz Law Firm logo. If you know Thompson, my producer, I think I'm going to take a quick break here on all things real estate. When we come back, we'll continue our Sunday of interviews. So please. Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. This is Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners. And along with Gino Thompson, we're alone in the studio today. Gino, this is the first time our show has not had an in-studio guest, but we've got a lot of guests still on the line to talk to today. So, you know, as I always tell my clients, that they should be thoughtful in their choice of a realtor, lender, and other real estate professionals to work with. You should also be just as discriminating in your choice of a title insurance company. My top recommendation, Fidelity National Title Insurance Company, of course. You see, Fidelity National is the nation's giant of title insurance companies with a personal Santa Fe approach. Their services are customized to meet the particular needs of each and every person and property. With Fidelity, your transaction runs smooth and safe with no surprises, so choose experienced, knowledgeable professionals to assist you with your real estate questions and transaction needs. Call my friends at Team Fidelity at 505-995-8800 or email them at their free and confidential question and customer service department. That is santafe@fnf.com. Choose wisely, choose Fidelity. I know you'll appreciate the difference. I'm also pleased to announce once again that we have added another sponsor to our family of companies who are underwriting all things real estate. And you folks know about these folks. It's actually Lenson's Incorporated, a family-owned and operated business that's been offering fabrics and custom upholstery services for more than 30 years. Now, if you haven't been to Lenson's showroom, I suggest you stop by the Santa Fe Institution and check out the more than 450 lines of fabric, custom bedding, and upholstery services they have to offer. Lenson's is not only a major destination for many interior designers and decorators, but it is also well-known among countless Santa Feans and ships its products to clients all over the world. Lenson's is located at 1305 Cerrillos Road, and I encourage you to stop by and say hello to our friend Loopy Lenson and her helpful staff. You know, Gino Thompson, my producer, we have reached that point in the show when it's time for another useful insurance tip brought to us by our friends at Hub International. Some of our listeners have invested considerable time, money, and effort to get their small business where it is today. And adequate insurance coverage should be an integral part of a small business protection plan. Being informed about insurance basics will help small business owners make well-informed decisions and ultimately protect their business. This week I visited with Robin Schritter, who is the Regional Vice President of Hub International, to help clarify how much and what kind of insurance a small business might need. Let's take a listen to what she had to say to me. You know, Robin, with the economy the way it is today, I know many small business owners are trying to cut costs. How can they control insurance costs while maintaining coverage?
First of all, thanks, Ray, for having me back on All Things Real Estate. Reducing coverage is a not good way to save small business dollars. Oftentimes, a reduction in coverage can lead to significant out-of-pocket expenses should something go wrong. The best way to control costs is to prevent losses before they occur. Stepping up loss control can cut claims and reduce insurance premiums. Two very basic loss control methods are installing a security system and instituting workplace safety. Another way to reduce insurance premiums is by increasing your deductibles. It goes without saying that insuring with a respectable and financially stable insurance carrier will ultimately save time and money as well.
Okay, Robin, with that said, what are some of the basic coverages available or necessary for small business owners?
The most basic and critical coverages for a small business are property and liability insurance. Property insurance protects a business from perils such as fire and theft. Liability insurance provides coverage when a business is responsible for injury to a third party or damage to someone's property. Many small business owners purchase a business owner's policy, or sometimes called a BOP. The BOP can contain a variety of property and liability coverages, often tailored for a specific industry.
Now that's very interesting, Robin, but what kind of coverages are included in this special policy?
Ray, there are far too many coverage details in this conversation. However, one of the most important coverages on this policy is business income. Business income reimburses the business owner for loss of earnings and continued operating expenses, including payroll, if the business is forced to shut down because of a fire or other insured loss. Extra expenses such as renting temporary space, moving into that space, and advertising for a temporary location are also covered. This is important as research has shown that 43% of businesses with a major fire loss do not reopen. Of those that do reopen, 17% do so with an impaired credit rating. Essentially, purchasing this coverage could save a business in the event of a major or catastrophic loss.
Okay, Robin, many of my business-owning friends are not sure they have comprehensive programs available to them. After all, they're not in the insurance business. How will they know they have the right insurance program?
The world of business insurance is complex and can be confusing. They should understand they don't have to go it alone. A good agent will take the time to truly understand their customer's business and recommend the most appropriate and cost-effective program.
As always, thanks for sharing great information, Robin. If you want more in-depth insurance advice, please go to our website, www.santafe.realtypartners.com. Click on the radio show icon, and that will take you right to the Hub International logo. Okay, as always, good counsel from Robin Schroeder, the Regional Vice President of Hub International. And once again, we're going back to another interview segment today. I'm actually sort of using my own contact network. I have my very good friend and my own personal accountant, Joe Miller, on the line. Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Ray, good afternoon to you as well. I'm doing great.
Excellent. And, Joe, today we're going to talk a little bit about, two or three issues, but the first one that I have received a lot of questions from listeners about involves placing real estate holdings in your IRA. What can you talk about on that?
Ray, I'd be happy to talk about this, and let me tell you the way this works. First, you must have what's called a self-directed IRA that allows you or the listener out there to make such purchases and to put such assets under what's called your IRA umbrella. You need a custodian, an IRA custodian, to do all this paperwork for you, and the one that I've used over the years is called Pensco, P-E-N-S-C-O. They are a California-based company, and that's actually the name of their website, www.pensco.com. I would suggest that our listening audience call them and inquire directly with them about how this is set up and the paperwork that needs to be completed from their end. Now, for tax purposes, this is very important, something to keep in mind. Any investment that goes into your IRA will, of course, grow tax-deferred until you are ready to pull it out. My only word of caution is that when you do cash out, please make sure that you are, of course, in the lowest possible tax bracket, as these distributions are taxed as ordinary income and not capital gains.
Well, that's excellent counsel on that particular point. Now, what can you tell my listeners about those that are self-employed, the benefits of incorporating the small business for the new year?
Wonderful, Ray. These are wonderful questions. Thank you. There are two main types of corporations with the IRS. There's what's called a C corporation, which has with it what is called duplicate taxation, which I am definitely not a fan of, if not managed properly. And then there is what's called a subchapter S corporation, which is my personal fan favorite, which has no tax of its own, but passes the net profits out to the shareholder, and then the shareholder pays tax on that profit personally.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the main benefit of the S corporation is twofold. One, you can legally reduce your Social Security tax liability with the S corporation in half. And two, the S corporation is much less likely to be audited than that of an unincorporated individual.
Excellent. And just full disclosure here, Joe has actually set up a subchapter S corporation for me, which I've had for many years, and it is a fabulous vehicle, so I can attest personally to what he is talking about. Now let's shift gears a little bit here, Joe, and talk about investing in a solo 401k.
Ray, it'd be my pleasure. Solo 401ks are best used when you are dealing with a self-employed individual who is incorporated and who is looking to tax defer some of their net profits away before the end of the year. Diligent tax planning, though, must take place in order to ensure this is done properly, as one of the requirements for the solo 401k contribution before year end is that the officer has taken a reasonable W-2 salary from their corporation.
Well, these are excellent pieces of advice, Joe, and I want to tell you that I actually have received an email here. Ray, your accountant sounds like he knows what he's talking about. Yes, he does, regarding real estate investment in an IRA. Sally wants to know how she can reach you, so this really sort of tees it up for you, Joe. What's the best advice you can give to my listeners about why they should look at perhaps using your services during this tax filing season?
Sure, absolutely. My quick answer to this question, Ray, and I know we're running out of time, is that I have found over the years that many conventional accountants approach your tax return from the top down. I like to look at your tax filing from the bottom up, which means how much taxes you would like to pay at the end of the day, of course, within reason, okay, and then show you every legal angle to make it come out this way. There are only two major ways to legally reduce your taxes, and they are maximizing your tax deductions as well as maximizing your retirement plan contributions. With proper planning and proper analysis, you can achieve the results you are looking for.
Now, Joe, you're too humble and too shy a guy. I asked how Sally asked how she could get a hold of you. Give your contact information.
Someone
out there wants to get a hold of an excellent account, and they know how to do it.
Oh, Sally, I apologize for overstepping your question. My phone number is area code 239-437-0241. And or my email address, which I do a lot of work electronically now, is accounttax, that's accountax, and then enterprises, enterprises, at yahoo.com.
Excellent advice from my accountant, Joe Miller. Joe, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. I know the listeners have benefited a lot from your counsel. I hope to have you back on the show again soon.
Great. Thank you. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, Gino Thompson, we got a little bit early here, but I'm going to take a break here so we can give a little bit more time to my two remaining guests at the end of the show. So please stay tuned here on All Things Real Estate. We're going to take a little bit of a commercial break, and we'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. And that was a long intro from my producer, Gino Thompson. But we were just talking about the fact that this is always a perfect setup for the Open House of the Week, which is brought to you by Los Alamos National Bank. Today I have sort of a repeat visitor from my firm, Bob Burbick, who is an associate broker with Santa Fe Realty Partners. I think Bob was on one of the very first shows that we had. And at that time, he had a different listing, but today we're going to be talking about the virtues of 2853 Cliff Palace. Good afternoon, Bob. How are you?
Hi, Ray. How are you today?
We're doing fine here on All Things Real Estate, and I know you are, let's see, you've been at this open house for about 30 minutes. You're going to be there from 12:30 to 2. Is that right?
Correct. Absolutely.
And you know the drill today, Bob, and I'm actually going to cheat a little bit. I'm going to give you an extra 30 seconds, but normally we have this two-minute drill where you sell the property virtues to me and Gino Thompson and the listeners, which is most important. So go ahead. You've got the floor, my friend.
Well, I do appreciate it. Thanks for having me on your show today. And what a great day it is today, and especially to come out and see an open house.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, the first open house I'm at today is at 2853 Cliff Palace. That's in Pueblo del Sol. It's priced at $339,000. This home is truly the best value in the neighborhood. And if you're out looking today, you simply must put this home on your list. What makes this home unique, it's loaded with charm and style. This turnkey three-bedroom, two-bath home features a light-filled open floor plan with French doors that lead out to your own private and landscaped courtyard. Plus, it has all the Santa Fe touches, like custom tiles, two Kiva fireplaces, one actually in the kitchen, vigas and beams. My second open house today, since I've got the extra 30 seconds...
Sure, go ahead.
...is from 2:30 to 4 p.m., and that's located in Rancho Viejo on 34 Zobradora. It's priced at $350,000, and that's just $156 a square foot.
Wow.
Over 2,200 square feet of living space. Mm-hmm. Truly a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
This home features three bedrooms, two baths, a great room, plus formal living and dining areas, evaporative cooling, and a two-car garage. It's also the only home in the subdivision that has a private port towel off the master.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that the listeners can look for my signs today, or if they have any questions, they can always call me on my cell phone, and that number is 670-9399.
And, Bob, going back to 2853 Cliff Palace, you may have mentioned it, but one of those critical pieces of information is the price, and I know the answer on this one, but please tell the listeners.
$339,000.
Oh, that's a fabulous price, and right in that sweet spot of where a lot of properties are selling now. And, you know, I don't know if it can happen, but maybe if someone, unless the first-time homebuyer tax credit is extended beyond November 30th, someone ought to take advantage of this great property because it fits right into that niche, doesn't it?
Not only the tax credit is extended, but as you notice, the interest rates are creeping up.
Yes.
Now has never been a better time to buy. And you know, I ran an analysis the other day on not only on this home, but all the homes in the general area that would include Rancho Viejo, Navajo, and the greater community college area. And truly, there's only a handful of properties in this price point.
Yeah. So, and you're absolutely right. And Bob, if someone wanted to come and visit you right now, again, you're going to be at 2853 Cliff Palace from 1230 to 2. Give the directions again.
Yeah, best way to get here is Rodeo to Camino Carlos Rey, and then make a right onto Cliff Palace. And you go down about 15 homes, and it'll be on your right-hand side. My sign's clearly marked. Doors are open. Sun is shining. Come on down.
Sounds like an invitation to me. So if you're out there driving around, please join Bob Burbick at 2853 Cliff Palace. Bob, as always, a pleasure to have you on the show. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Ray. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye. Now, in a moment, Tommy Gardner, the co-owner of Santa Fe Realty Partners, my boss, but more importantly, a heck of a great guy to be working for, and that, I mean seriously, he's also the qualifying broker of Santa Fe Realty Partners. He's going to join us to share an update on a free service our firm is offering exclusively to everyone searching for a home in Santa Fe. So why don't you go grab a pen and a piece of paper so you can jot down a phone number that we will be giving to you in a moment. And I know that Gino is trying to get Tommy on the phone here. They're laughing. So, Gino, do we have Tommy? I think we do. Good afternoon, Tommy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Ray.
Listen, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy weekend to join the listeners and me and Gino Thompson. And let's get right into this, Tommy. This is a fabulous free service that I've been talking about for several weeks, and you're advertising it every week in the Santa Fe, New Mexico, and this is offered to anyone who's searching for a new home. Talk about it.
That's correct. It really is for anyone searching for a new home, a pre-owned home, or maybe even just curious about what the marketplace might be in a given area. Out for a sunny drive or a serious drive during the week, trying to determine what home they may purchase next. They don't even have to call a realtor, actually, to find out the information on a home. If it's listed in the multiple listing service, they merely dial up the number, the 505-204-7427, and they can enter the code that's on the sign if it happens to be a Santa Fe Realty Partner sign, or without any hesitation, they can just put in the house number and instantly receive a voice recording of the information on that home so they can make a decision whether they would like to do something or contact a broker and go forward with more information.
Now, Tommy, I've actually gone through this process myself, and a couple of other people have tested it out, and not only is it useful information, but the woman who delivers it has a very pleasant voice. She does it in a very user-friendly fashion, and what you said just a moment ago is absolutely true. Not only can you get every piece of information through some very simple prompts on your phone about this property, but if you decide that you want to actually meet with a broker, you just press a button and it immediately connects you, or what's the, how's that work again?
That's, you're right. You will press the number one and be immediately directed to the broker on that listing. So that you can get more detailed information, or if you feel the need and want to, just request a showing as soon as possible so that you can see the property.
And you can also get all sorts of other information, not only about the property, but you can put in information and get a formula back on lending options. Is that right?
That you can. You can also get an estimate of how much the monthly payments would be. That's principal and interest, of course, not taxes and insurance, but a follow-up call, if you like, from a mortgage broker who really understands the marketplace here in Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm. And, again, Tommy, this phone number, just so people can have it, and we're going to talk a little bit more for a moment here, but, again, that's 505-204-7427. Again, as you're driving around today on this beautiful Santa Fe day, if you drive by one of our listings, it'll have a Santa Fe Realty Partner sign on it, and that sign will contain, it's a four-digit code, right?
That's correct.
So you drive up to this house and you say, you know what, that looks like a great house to find out something. You just call the number that's on the sign, plug in those four digits, and all of a sudden you get this nice, pleasant woman's voice telling you everything you want to know, correct?
There you go. That's correct.
And if there isn't one of our listings, and, of course, there are a couple of other real estate firms here in town, so if you see their sign out in front, you can still put in that address of that property. Don't even have to go into it. When you put the address in, that same voice comes on and gives you information. And, Tommy, just to underscore this, you're too modest to say it, but we are the only firm in town that's offering this service to buyers, aren't we?
That's correct, Ray. And hopefully it will serve the community as well. And I think it will. We're just getting started with the program, and it will be up on our website in about 2 weeks under sfrp.com. You'll be able to sign up. One of the unique features about this is if you're out looking at homes, and you call on, say, a half a dozen homes, you don't have to take notes even. You will receive an email with full details on each home you call on. Your email will either go wherever it's directed, either to your phone or your home. So you'll have the detailed information on what you've seen that day.
Mm-hmm. And, Tommy, we've got a couple extra minutes here, so I want to actually give you the chance to talk a little bit about some of the things that distinguish Santa Fe Realty Partners from others. We have every week a full-page ad in the Santa Fe New Mexican, as I said a minute ago. And on that ad, if you look at it today, it talks about the various Internet-related services that the firm offers. Talk a minute about how we are distinguished in this community in that regard.
Our business, Ray, has been built on the Internet. When we first started our company, we didn't even use print advertising at that point, very little. So we have invested heavily in delivering to our clients the ability for their home to be placed on literally hundreds of different portals or different websites across the United States, Europe, and the rest of the world. Today, we are number one on the major search terms in a number of search engines, Google, Yahoo, and so on, for, say, Santa Fe real estate, Santa Fe homes. So the key here is getting to the buyer first, and the Internet is the way we do that.
And the reason why that's critical is there are all sorts of statistics that we can throw out to people, Tommy, but one thing that I think is incredibly valuable to realize is that it's almost close to 90% of all buyers start out by going through the Internet, don't they, to search for a home?
That's correct. That's correct. And it's the amount of time that a potential buyer spends looking at the Internet at homes in a given area is tremendous. So they have an idea of the type of home and the area that they would like to purchase in for the most part before they ever get to Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm.
And so making that initial contact via the Internet, providing information and guidance and the resources that that person will need to make a decision, then build a confidence in that person to work with you as a realtor. And, of course, that gives us an advantage in working with the homes that we have listed.
And so many buyers that come to Santa Fe more recently and actually the last few years are coming from overseas, certainly outside of the state. They're looking at second, third, tenth homes. And though that market share has softened a little bit in the last couple of years because of the economy, we still are basically marketing to people everywhere globally, aren't we?
Oh, for sure, definitely. We're members of Luxury Portfolio and Leading Real Estate Companies of the World, which is the largest referral network in the world, and it's in well over 60 different major countries out there. And of course, the sites are set up to handle those potential clients. In that they are under different languages, they're able to access a language that that they can understand, and the website is interpreted that way, and also in different currencies. So, you know, it's an information age, and delivering that information instantly to the potential buyers all over the world is critical in getting them to even consider an area.
Yeah. And, Tommy, just again to go back to what we started the conversation on, again, this special exclusive service that we offer to any buyer who wants to look for a property in the multiple list system in Santa Fe. They need to dial when they actually pull up to a property, no matter where it is, whoever is selling the property, dial 505-204-7427. Either put in the code if it's one of our listings or put in the address and they get all sorts of information about the property. Is that right?
That's correct. Now, it's not even the address. They can just type in or put in the three or four numbers of the numbers of the house.
No kidding.
So if it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever the street name is, you do not have to enter the street name, just the numbers of the house. It'll bring up a selection of different homes and you choose.
Mm-hmm. Tommy Gardner, you going to enjoy the rest of your afternoon?
I am.
And it's a beautiful day to be out and about. Listen, I appreciate you being on the show today. This is Tommy Gardner, who is co-owner and qualifying broker of Santa Fe Realty Partners. Appreciate this information. Again, I want to suggest, Tommy, that people go to our website, www.sfrp.com. On the homepage, there's all sorts of information, including a new feature. We've got an extra couple of seconds here, Tommy.
Sure.
It's about our online magazine. What's that all about?
We have we'll have a number of online magazines that feature different properties, whether they're luxury properties or properties in certain areas. But it'll allow access to higher quality photographs, larger photographs, and information that the potential buyer or person who may be interested in the property will be able to access and enjoy in their own time.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, thank you, Tommy Gardner, co-owner of Santa Fe Realty Partners, and all of my guests today for bringing us lots of useful information to the show. I want to thank Gino Thompson, my producer, and Kate and Jane back at Santa Fe Realty Partners for producing an excellent program. And I want to thank you for tuning in today. Please give us a call at 989-8900 if you need some real estate advice. So until next Sunday at noon right here on 1260 KTRC, I send you good luck and fortune in all things real estate.